Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The Loose Cannons are on the air.
What are we doing? What are you doing?
Steve Hartman.
Send me a tweet. I want to hear what it's all about.
And Mike Costa.
If you run a bunch of people out onto the field who were born without heads.
On Extra 1360 Fox Sports San Diego.
All right, the Loose Cannons, they are out. Doing our best to fill in. He is Pete Fox, Judson Richards here with you. Coming up, we got a loaded 4 o'clock hour. Jeff Fox with the tickets to give away. Also, Annie Halbrun of the San Diego Union Tribune. She was there. We will get her report of what exactly it looked like coming up at 4:30. Final day at Chargers Park. And excited for this as well. Hall of Famer, NFL Hall of Famer, Mike Haynes in studio at 5 p.m. Played for the Los Angeles Raiders. We'll talk about perhaps what the Chargers may have to expect in L.A. He's got some important things to talk about as well with Father's Day coming up this weekend. Before I forget, let me wish you, Pete Fox, a happy Father's Day. You, Ernie Martinez,
thank
a
you.
Happy Father's Day. You guys have big plans this weekend to celebrate your fatherdom?
I do the same thing just about every year. I put on a cowboy hat and a sarong. And I go in the pool and drink too many beers.
This is terrifying. That's the most that's the most white trash Father's Day.
I'm not even kidding.
No, I can tell. I believe you.
And by the way, my mother called to wish me a happy Father's Day last Sunday.
Really?
Yes. So thanks, Mom.
Well, now that image is in my head, Ernie, please give me something else to think about.
My daughter.
A sarong?
I love a sarong, man.
What is a sarong exactly?
It's kind of like a... it's a skirt, but you just kind of tie it. It's a Hawaiian cover-up, yeah. I guess.
So you have a skirt. So yeah. For Father's Day, you wear a skirt.
Yes.
All right. Moving they're right along.
They're not just for women, though. In Hawaii, the men wear them as well.
Yeah, we're not in Hawaii, Pete.
I know, but that's why
we're in America.
I wear them just to be different. It's something that you do on Father's Day. You do whatever you want. Like I would wear a sarong more often if it was acceptable. If it was something that was...
Well, you're wearing one now, so I guess you thought it was okay to wear here to work. Ernie, Father's Day for you.
It, Ernie.
My daughter is singing in the choir at church, and then we're going to be hanging out by a pool with some friends.
Nicely done. Yeah. Ernie, you've got the new fit bod. Maybe it's time for you to rock a sarong by the pool. Any consideration? No?
Yeah, well, I might do that.
There you go.
My daughter's
comfortable.
Final day of kindergarten was today, and she did yesterday, I believe. She did a happy Father's Day thing, which came home in her backpack, and I read it today. She said, I like my dad because he takes me to the beach and counts numbers with me. And then it said something like, my dad is blank pounds, and she put 100 pounds. I was like, yes. I don't seem like a big fat schlub to my daughter.
Yeah. Well, she's going to change her mind when she sees you, and that's so wrong. Let's get to the 4-4.
So wrong.
4-4!
Four top stories of the day.
Four at four
is brought to you by Sombrero Mexican Food, serving the freshest San Diego style Mexican food.
Love us some Sombreros on this show. Good stuff. Ernie, where are we going first?
Number
four.
NCAA comes down hard on Louisville and Patino.
Really?
Yep. That's the rumor.
Can you offer me any more about how hard they've come down on them?
Well, Patino gets a 5-game suspension to start the ACC. And the school, the Cardinals, get put on 4 years of probation. Obviously, they are not very happy.
And they say the championship that they won in 2013 could be in jeopardy.
Yeah.
Like they could take it away from them.
Really?
Yes.
Now, Patino should have never survived what he'd gone through already. Remember, there was, what would you want to call it? What's a lightweight
scandal?
A sex ring.
Mm-hmm. I think I would put it. There was a level of virtually prostitution going on with the basketball players. Now, how someone, whether he knew or did not know, to me, that fits very clearly under lack of institutional control. And so this, yet again, seems like lack of institutional control, and it may be time for Rick Pitino to find himself to another college or maybe out of the job for good.
Yeah, it does have that feeling of burying your head in the sand and, hey, yes, this guy won us a title, so let's just kind of turn a blind eye and not pay as close of attention to all the details as we should be.
Right. And I think we can all admit how ugly what is it. By the way, Rick has been going on through a lot of stuff. Let's not forget the marital issues as well.
Yes.
There's a great story about he at a restaurant with a woman as well. So Rick Pitino, his book, if it hasn't already been written, will be a colorful one. And this is just another chapter, so we'll see how much longer, really, Rick Pitino sticks away. By the way, just got this text in. It says, Judson, Hawaii is part of America, idiot. Did I not say that with enough sarcasm? Was there not enough sarcasm in my voice when I said that? I am aware, somewhat, not aware of much, but I am aware of that. Ernie, do you think that Rick is on his way out?
I do, only from what I have read. And I think when there's certain coaches that have been around for quite some time at the college level, I'm talking about 20-something years, I think you'll obviously start to see some change, because it really blows me away. A coach like Rick Pitino at an institution as big as Louisville, that he does not see anything. I mean, I'm not comparing it to Penn State, but it's just, how does a coach see a blind eye to what's going on with this program when he's supposed to be so close to these athletes and these young men, and they don't see anything, or they pretend not to see anything?
He's just stubborn. There's no way he didn't know any of that was going on. There's absolutely no way. And a lot of times when they get into these situations, that coach will just step down. But he's like, I'm not stepping down.
Right.
So they will, what'll have to happen more than likely is the chancellor, if it becomes, or whoever the president, they'll have to make a decision to fire him because he's not going away.
Number three.
McGregor to face Floyd. And what I find very interesting on this, guys, is fines could be handed down if McGregor decides to use some of those MMA moves.
Well, yeah. Dana White was saying that there's the potential of McGregor being sued by Mayweather if he drops an elbow or, you know, does a leg swipe or whatever it is they do in the MMA.
Not a big MMA fan?
No.
He could go for the leg swipe.
Yeah.
Now, what kind of fight are we talking about? He can't lose the entire purse if he decides to choke out Floyd Mayweather, which we're all rooting for, right? Yes. Let's not forget, Floyd Mayweather has dealt with multiple issues of domestic violence, including doing 90 days back in 2010. I think very little of Floyd Mayweather. There's nothing more I'd like more than like a $100 million chokeout, right? Like Conor McGregor just decided, screw the money. Yeah. I want to get my hands on this dude and see what I can do.
Let's all create a fund.
The problem is we all expect it to go what Floyd Mayweather's fights look like, where he sticks and moves, and really does create this sweet science where it just kind of makes for a boring fight.
Right.
Like, I would rather watch one round of Mike Tyson bite the ear off of Evander Holyfield than the sweet science of Floyd Mayweather. Now, can Conor McGregor offer a fighter's chance? It's what we're all curious to see. It's very easy, at least for me, to root for Conor McGregor because Floyd Mayweather has become the heel. But you also cannot recognize or you can't avoid seeing Conor or Floyd is 49-0.
You know, I saw the biting of the ear.
Yes.
And that was very barbaric. I was sort of stunned by all that.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know if you were watching it. Mike Tyson came out of his corner without his mouthpiece. You want to talk about premeditated. He didn't just happen to come upon an ear in his mouth and thought, why don't I bite down? They sent him back to his corner to put his mouthpiece in, and he continued to spit it out so he could get a hold of his ear. So again,
I just have a feeling it's going to be ugly because we know that Conor McGregor is not a good boxer. Now, obviously, between now and August, he can, potentially cram, ramp up his skills a little bit as a boxer. I'm sure he's going to have somebody who is more of a specialist in that area in his on his team and his camp and so forth. But I just have a feeling it's just going to be ugly. He's going to be frustrated by chasing after Mayweather, not being able to get a hold of him. And as far as a fight goes, it's just not going to be a good fight. And
so we think, again, people talk in absolutes about
why
this
would it
fight.
Be any, what would be different about it? Like, what potentially could be different? We
Connor
know,
could catch him.
We know what Floyd Mayweather does.
Connor could catch him. You can't tell me it's impossible for Floyd not to get hit. You can't tell me it is absolutely impossible.
Done it for 49 fights.
Well, he's 40
he's
years old.
He's seemingly never been hit.
He hasn't fought since 2015.
Yeah.
He's retired, coming out of retirement.
It's been that long, wow.
To fight a 28-year-old.
Hmm.
So, again, I do think that there's
with
a fighter's chance.
With very expensive socks.
We don't know what it's going to cost either. This could very well maybe a $150 fight card.
Am I the only one that's kind of hoping that it's going to be like Rocky and Thunder Lips?
I mean, I may watch Rocky 1 instead of this, to be honest. If I can't find a free place to watch it.
On the same night.
If all boxing was like Rocky movies, it'd be like my favorite sport. They didn't even block until Rocky 3.
Don't forget, we bring you live updates from the U.S. Open all weekend long. They're brought to you by the Golf Mart, home of the 90-day 100% satisfaction guarantee.
Number two.
The U.S. Open takes a double whammy.
All right, how about this? Yeah, Phil Mickelson withdraws from the tournament, and an advertising blimp crashes down.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Ricky Fowler still leading it.
Yep.
That's all that matters.
No one's catching him today there, Jensen.
No one?
No one's catching him today.
Why? You keep talking in absolutes.
No
you
one's
keep
catching
telling
him
things
today.
Can't happen.
No one's catching him today.
Well, because they're done?
Well,
that makes sense.
There are a few people that are still out.
Oh, see?
But they're on 13. I mean, I guess you could, they could, there's a couple of guys, 13, Bernd Wiesberger.
Big fan.
And Xander Schauffele, who is an American, are 300 par at 13. So, you know, five to play. They could, you know.
Fowler
well,
7 under.
Four birdies in five holes. So it's possible.
Now, Pete, you were in a big pool.
Playing golf yesterday, and I did not get into the pool, and I'm saddened by that. But at the same time, I'm probably happy because I would have picked guys like Jordan Spieth and Dustin Johnson and Sergio and all those guys that are the big names that are the best golfers in the world right now. And all of those guys are laying an egg. Jordan Spieth is 1 under. He's done. Dustin Johnson is 3 over. He's done. Bubba Watson is 2 over. He's got a couple of holes to play, but he's done. Sergio is the only one that's relevant at 1 under par.
So Ricky Fowler still hasn't been caught.
No. Nope.
7 under.
Still a top
still
leader.
The leader.
And he is going to ride a dirt bike to Erin Hills tomorrow and go jump over the bunkers.
Now, as you all have witnessed, Brent, you especially, running the board for the Mark and Rich Show, Mark has been salivating for a chance to attack me. And he wanted to do it with the crossover. One tweet where I called Phil Mickelson soft for attending his daughter's graduation. Now, the soft part was not about the graduation in itself. It, to me, was raising the white flag of Phil Mickelson ever winning a major again. Meaning, to me, he's lost his edge.
Well, yeah, he probably won't. I mean, winning a tournament ever again might be challenging because he hasn't won since, what, 13? Isn't won since 2013.
His Tiger last Woods major has won, or his last tournament?
Last tournament. Tiger Woods has won more recently than Phil Mickelson by a couple of months.
But his tournament?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
What tournament has Tiger Woods won?
Well, when he was the number one golfer in the world in 2013, he won 5 times.
5 tournaments?
Yes.
Were they all his own?
They were all
non-majors. Phil Mickelson has won more majors than Tiger Woods since 2008.
Yes.
Okay.
True.
So there's that.
True. There is that.
Am I way off base with my soft comment that has soft-willed outrage?
No. Because I absolutely, totally agree because this guy is a professional golfer, and I guess he feels like his career is complete. I would disagree. I'm a Phil fan. I like Phil. I've liked Phil for a long time.
Same. I was disappointed to see him not be there.
I can't imagine how devastated he was when he put that tee shot on 18 into the hospitality tent when he had the U.S. Open wrapped up. What was that, 2006? Whenever that was, right?
It's the only major he hasn't won. He's won five majors, never won the U.S. Open.
And he's finished in that tournament second six times, right? And you're not getting any younger. You are a professional golfer. This is what you do. This is the biggest, or at least the top two biggest days or weeks of your life every year. You go to this tournament.
It's refreshing to hear this from a parent because I heard it today. I'm not a parent.
His daughter is the valedictorian.
Right.
You're only a valedictorian one time.
You see these things sitting right in front of us here, Ernie? What are these things right here in front of us? What are these things? What do they do?
Cameras.
They record things.
Even his wife said we could record it.
Yeah, and they have a Facebook Live. I mean, how cool would it be if he's out there on the course with an iPad in his golf bag watching his daughter's graduation?
Yeah, she's valedictorian. She should know this stuff.
Look, someone said it yesterday when I was working on the radio. Someone said to me, well, you're a father. How would you feel about him? I'm like, look, I make a couple hundred dollars a day, not millions of dollars on the line to be a professional golfer. It's a completely different perspective.
I respect his decision.
I respect it, but at the same time, I disagree with it. He should be at the U.S. Open.
I guess I don't disagree
If it was the Farmers Insurance Open, which
any of the ones we don't care about. You're right.
I mean, I care about the Farmers because it's here. I'm trying to think of another one. The Wells Fargo. If it was the Wells Fargo and he missed that, okay, perfect. Great. No problem.
Right.
But the fact that it's the U.S. Open and it's a course they don't play all the time and it's very receptive. He could go out there and contend and win this thing.
Now, but if he goes out and wins the U.S. Open next year, does this matter as much?
Totally vindicated.
100%. Yeah, can call and laugh at me and tell me I was wrong. Part of this has to do with the window closing because he's about to turn 47 years of age.
And if he already had a U.S. Open, I would say go to your daughter's graduation. But he does not have a U.S. Open. Okay. If it was the Masters, I would say go to your daughter's graduation. Give your speech. Fall asleep during her speech. Whatever.
Number one.
Hit the road, Jack. Don't you come. They're leaving and they leave their hearts in San Diego.
Yeah, we'll talk more about this coming up at 4:30. Anna Hallbrunn of the San Diego Union Tribune was there. She's been really covering these last 5 months right in front and center of the Chargers finals day. But today was the final practice for Chargers Park and the Chargers. I was there, and it was very fitting. Philip Rivers, after practice, spent another 30 minutes working on his throws, working on accuracy drills, and was the very last member of the Chargers to walk off of the field today. Very fitting, cool moment, and certainly an end of an era. 56 years, boxes were already out, and it's heading off to Costa Mesa. The next time the Chargers take a practice facility, it will be in some other town, about to go Goonies on you. It's our time up here. It's their time up there. It's our time down here.
If you had this decision under your control, you could say the Chargers could have left the way they did today or left under the shadow of darkness one night 3 months ago or something. What do you think is the better plan, the better play? How would you have scripted this?
That's interesting. If I could script it, I'd probably have them still be the San Diego Chargers. But since I don't have that power, I don't even really know. It doesn't matter. Once the decision was made, the decision was made. You had the anger, the vitriol of people going over to Chargers Park. And then virtually it was all said and done. People haven't, you know, been going out front of Chargers Park for the last months they've been there.
Were there fans there in the park?
No, there weren't. No. I heard there were two or three people out front. There may have been some driving by. But everyone virtually had, as Dean Spanos said in his announcement, in his letter, they have turned the page. They are gone. They are here, but gone. Now they are officially gone. And I think it's better for everybody that they are no longer here. The Q is no longer named the Q, and Chargers Park, it needs a new name change as well, because that is no longer.
Qualcomm's not sponsoring the stadium anymore?
No, the naming rights are up.
Really?
It is the unnamed stadium.
Wow.
In fact, you can text us, 70470, what should the new name of the stadium be?
Pile
Those
of
are
rubble.
Always fun to read. Certainly. We can go back to calling it Jack Murphy Stadium.
Okay. Yeah.
I liked that.
Still Jack Murphy Field, though.
Right.
I believe, right?
Yeah. If you want to see video of Philip Rivers staying after practice working on drills, or what is what it sounded like him addressing the media, the Hardwick and Richards page, sportssd.com. We do have a lot of video there for you. Again, sportssd.com, the Hardwick and Richards page. Right now, let's give away those Jeff Foxworthy tickets. All you have to do is tell us, what was the number four sports story as we just went over the four of them? You know the answer to that, 570-1360. You win the Jeff Foxworthy tickets. What was it?
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Number four sports story of the day. And coming up next.
You might be a redneck if the TV you watch sitting on another TV.
You might be a redneck if you wear a sarong and a cowboy hat for Father's Day.
Hey, I'm half redneck, man. There's no doubt about that.
On Sunday.
Hey, let me ask you a quick question here. You know this 23andMe thing? You can tell me after the break. You don't even know what 23andMe is?
I don't know what that is.
Okay. No. I'll tell you after the break.
Annie Halber on the San Diego Union Tribune. What did it look like to her out there at Chargers Park for the final day? That's coming up next.
Hornberger with you coming up tomorrow on the Mark and Rich Show right at noon. Padres start their series in Milwaukee. They're streaking. Also, the U.S. Open action continues. We'll talk about it on Extra 1360 Fox Sports San Diego.
All right, he's Pete Fox, Judson Richards in for, obviously, the Loose Cannons. Steve Hartman will be back tomorrow. Does that mean you'll be back tomorrow, Pete?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Because Costa hanging out in New York. Coming up at 4:45, Draymond Green is celebrating the Warriors championship in the most Draymond Green way possible. We'll have that story for you. Looking forward to tomorrow morning. I'll be back with you in with Nick Hardwick. Nick spent an hour after practice today with Antonio Gates and Philip Rivers, not in an interview setting, but just kind of hanging out, being one of the guys. So look forward to getting that story from him. So we'll be with you at 6 a.m. bright and early. We're tracking down Annie Halbrun. Going to get her reaction of what Chargers Park looked like today. And so as I went out there, I don't necessarily know what I expected. I think people actually said to someone asked me why I came out there, and I virtually just said out of curiosity.
Right, yeah.
Just to see what it looked like.
You were looking for a story, trying to find something that was interesting, yeah. Uncomfortable. You just wanted to see the spectacle, right?
Right, yeah. And I think it went exactly the way that I expected it to. Rest of the players walked off of the field. And then there was everyone waiting around yeah. to talk to the quarterback, to talk to Philip Rivers. Again, Anthony Lynn doesn't have an attachment to San Diego. This is a brand new head coach. He hasn't won championships here. He doesn't live here. Hell, even Mike McCoy lives in San Diego. Mike McCoy, the former coach, is more of an attachment to San Diego because his family still lives here and he bought a home. There was one man that everyone was waiting for, and that was Philip Rivers, and that's somewhat the way it went. Joining us now, Annie Halbrun of the San Diego Union Tribune. Annie, I'll ask you the same question. When you went out there today, what exactly were you looking for, hoping for? What were your expectations?
It's a great question, Judson, because it feels like it's been a six-month goodbye. It has been. And then this week, especially the 3 days that the Chargers have had practice for minicamp, it's been a long, just like an especially long goodbye. You know, day one started with the goodbye pressers from Philip Rivers and Antonio Gates. Day two, you had people coming out to Chargers Park, old reporters, old players coming out to say goodbye, look at Chargers Park one last time. So it's like every day was tinged with this, okay, this is it. Okay, this is it. And then now today being actually it, you know, I knew there would be a lot of media, and I think that there was a lot of media. It did seem, you know, more, it was more than it had been the last 2 days. People just trying to get that last glimpse of Chargers Park. I feel the same way you do, Judson. You know, everyone walked off. Some people took some pictures. I think some of the defense took some pictures. I saw Philip Rivers take some pictures. Antonio Gates said he would be. But everybody was just waiting for Philip. And that was really the entirety of the practice. You know, everything else felt kind of business as usual. But really that moment of Philip walking off the field and then stopping to talk to all the reporters is really what I think is going to be remembered for a lot of us. And then, you know, afterwards, everyone hanging around, shaking hands, hugging each other because they didn't know if they were going to see them again. You know, you saw people doing that. So it's just really a weird scene, almost like the last day of summer, except it was like the last day of summer forever.
Annie, now that it's all said and done, did it feel like that was the best way for the Chargers to handle the move, staying around for an extra 6 months?
I really respect what Philip Rivers has said about this, that he felt like it was a good way to say goodbye. It was like, I think in his mind, he felt like it was a good way to honor San Diego and to not have to, you know, just pack up and move without being able to say goodbye to all your favorite people. At the same time, for fans, even for players, I think, you know, no, who cares about the media, but for fans especially, it was, I think, torturous. I think it's, you know, to have your team that's already said that they're not going to be part of your community anymore continue to practice in your community, and really the news outlets here continue to cover them because that's just part of being a news outlet. I think it was really hard on fans, and I think for the players, I'm sure, look, had Dean Spanos moved them up to that area sooner, you know, they could acclimate sooner. And so while I don't think that it, you know, they were mad about being in San Diego at all, I think that, you know, time will tell whether this was a good idea for the players, but for the fans, no, I don't think it was a good idea at all.
Annie, we can both agree that Philip Rivers is maybe the hardest worker, one of the hardest workers in the NFL, but a lot of it happens behind closed door when it comes to film study. I've been in a lot of Charger practices, and Philip isn't always the last guy out there like he was today, going through drills, working on accuracy, and throwing the football, along with a few other quarterbacks. But Philip today absolutely was the last one to walk off of the field. I don't think that happened unintentionally.
No, I agree with you 100%. You know, maybe he wanted to soak it in those last few minutes, and it was more than a few minutes. You're right, Jetson. It was 10, 15 minutes that he stayed on the field longer than everyone else, and he was throwing the football around. He was, you know, doing his kind of, you know, Philip Rivers things at the very end of the field. I saw him take a few pictures. He was with the other quarterbacks. So, you know, I think that that was intentional. I think he was soaking it up one last time, and I think he was just letting it linger, you know, for him, because, you know, for Philip, I really think that, like you said, he is a behind the scenes guy, and he is an emotional guy. Like we all know, the way that you see him on Sundays on the football field in games, his emotions can range, you know, and it's part of what makes him so good. And I do think that he really respects what San Diego has given to the Chargers, what the Chargers have given to San Diego. He really respects that and honors it. And I really think that was him kind of taking a moment to respect it and honor it and just soak it all in one last time because he knew it was the end. And that's just kind of who he is, which says a lot.
Were there any players like grabbing mementos, you know, like pieces of field turf or ripping off the locker door or anything like that?
It's great. You know, I think they will. I think that especially Philip and Antonio Gates will. Antonio Gates said that he will try to unscrew part of his seat from the locker room. I think what he's talking about is like the stool that this like part of his locker that they can use to sit on. You know, that's his locker for 14 seasons. It used to be right next to Malcolm Floyd before Malcolm Floyd retired, but it's also right next to Philip Rivers. He has seen so much happen in that locker room since he first came to the Chargers. So for Antonio Gates, you know, that's kind of what represents his career is that seat. And he's like, I'm going to go get tools. I'm going to unscrew the cushion. I'm going to take it with me. That whole, he said he was going to sign it. Like that whole thing, like he just wants to keep that. And I think that you'll see guys, you know, maybe take something that means something to them. But, you know, for Philip, he said that he didn't want to give his away. I think he said that he wanted to make sure that no one caught him first or something like that. I don't think anyone's going to get mad at him for taking anything, but he said he will take something. So maybe he'll tell us what that is later, or he'll tell you guys. But, you know, those are the two guys, really, Antonio and Philip. Of course, Corey Leggett's been there a while. I think Daryl Stuckey, the other one. But for Philip and Antonio, it's really the most meaningful, I do think.
Yeah, actually, Annie, I thought about Nick as well, and I know Nick spent time with Antonio and Phillip. Those three, Chargers Park only has been going on since 1997. You'd be hard-pressed to find three guys that have spent more time, except for maybe LaDainian Tomlinson, but I don't think he was here as long as Nick was. Three guys that have been walking out of the practice field as much as they have, and it all came to a conclusion today. Annie, I've really enjoyed your cover on this. Follow Annie on Twitter, at Annie Heilbrun. Thanks for your time today, Annie.
Thanks so much, guys. And just a shout-out also to the staffers, because I think for a lot of them, it's them that it hits the most. It hits them the hardest, you know, those that either aren't going to the L.A. because of family or school or anything like that. And those are the people that are behind the scenes that, you know, I think are having a hard time with this as well. So, big shout out to them.
Absolutely. Thanks, Annie.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, she mentioned shout out. You've got Scott Yaffe. I know his last day today was 21 years, or at least roughly his last day.
Yeah.
Bill Johnston.
He said it was the only job Scott's ever had.
I believe so. Yeah, Bill Johnston, the same thing. He stepped away a couple weeks ago. Bill was out there today. Jamal LaFrance as well. George Jett, who's been answering the phones forever for the Chargers. Again, this is all winding down for them. And it's one thing to lose your favorite team when that is also attached to the job that you've had for a long, long time. My goodness, Aaron, we almost lost a man bringing a chair in here.
You know, it's interesting about Scott Yaffe in the PR department with the Chargers. If you're not familiar with the name like we are, but I know back when I was working for a radio station in Palm Springs that was, you know, running the Chargers, and we worked with Scott a lot, you know, very closely for a variety of different things. And being in many games and being around him a lot, you know, I remember him taking Charger losses harder than anybody I had ever seen, sure. Right? So not only did he work for the team, he was a huge, huge fan. So it would be interesting for me to see how his fanship, you know, forget about the fact that he's been associated with this organization his entire adult life. It'd be interesting to see how his fanship will evolve from here moving forward.
We almost just lost Ernie Martinez trying to wheel a chair in here. Mike Haynes will join us, along with his son will join us, coming up at 5 o'clock. Something very important to talk to with the Hall of Famer, especially with Father's Day coming up on Sunday. But coming up next, Draymond Green was doing the most Draymond thing ever during the Warriors Championship Parade celebration. We'll have that story for you coming up next.
It's the Chargers' last day at Charger Park here in San Diego. How did it sit with Philip Rivers? Hardwick and Richards, we get started on Extra 1360 Fox Sports San Diego at 6 a.m.
All right, Pete Fox, Judson Richards in for the Loose Cannons. Hartman will be back tomorrow. Of course, Costa has to take a longer vacation. He's such a show-off. Costa with his lengthy vacations, he will be back. I don't know, is he back on Monday? Does anybody have the answer to that question?
I believe so, yes. I'm doing the deduction. I'm not working, so therefore I presume that he is.
Okay, so Costa's in New York. Hartman is at Disneyland. Steve will be back tomorrow. I'll be back with you bright and early tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. We'll see you. Be there. And coming up at 5 o'clock, by the way, looking forward to this, Mike Haynes, Pro Football Hall of Famer, also 9-time Pro Bowler, member of the College Football Hall of Fame. He and his son, football player, quarterback, in fact, headed to Boston College. Tate and Mike Haynes will be with us in studio at 5 o'clock. And Mike has something very important to remind all of you fathers about with Father's Day coming up. So they'll be in with studio with us coming up at 5 p.m.
Do you think Steve was able to get the mouse ears over his Lego hair, or was it too much?
Nobody wants to mess up that hair. Probably not. But yeah, be interesting to see. Could you imagine Steve on a roller coaster? You know, they take the photo when you drop and dip. And
I think him on a roller coaster would kind of be like when Anderson Cooper is covering hurricanes and like he's in 90-mile-an-hour winds, but not a single hair moves. I think that's the way it would be.
I envision you've got like open mouth, screaming face, just your normal roller coaster faces. And then Steve turned to the person next to him and just talking their ear off, just mid-sentence in the photo. That's what I envision.
Calling him soft.
No, Steve is the guy that goes to Disneyland and just lets loose, right? And probably
Steve
has
knows how to party.
He has the park hopper pass, and he probably runs across to California Adventure, grab a cold one, come back, you know.
Good for Steve, though.
Making the most of it.
Yeah, again, Steve deserves it. Well-earned day off. Costa certainly doesn't, but good for Steve. And Steve will be back tomorrow.
Hey, by the way, 23andMe, which I told you about before,
yes,
is a DNA thing, so you can find out what your heritage is. And my wife has gotten really into it. And I'm like, I don't really care.
You don't?
I don't. I know for a fact that my
so
mother...
So glad you brought it up, then.
My mother is, well, I wanted to get someone else's opinion. Am I the only one who doesn't care? You said you did something like this already.
Right.
You?
I think I'm thinking of Ancestry.com.
Right. But did you do a saliva thing?
I did.
Okay. Right.
Yeah.
So you already know. So you're into it then.
Right. I'm pretty much heavy 90% European.
Uh-huh.
And I have 7% Scandinavian in me, which is Viking blood.
Yeah, see,
so don't mess with me.
I know that my mother is Greek, and I guess I could learn more about that. And I know that my dad is a redneck hillbilly from Kentucky, and that's Irish. So what else do I need to know?
Well, I'm very, very Polish. You know, my last name, if it wasn't changed when my grandfather moved here because it was easier to get a job, my last name would be Zdzwowski.
Wow. Okay.
So I would be Judson Zdzwowski. That begins with ZDZ. So heavy Pollock sitting right here.
There you go. Nice.
All right. So the Warriors, because the Bay Area doesn't have enough to celebrate, right? with all of the 49ers Super Bowls, with the 2010, 2012, 2014 Giants World Series, and now the another NBA Finals Championship 2 in 3 years because the Bay Area doesn't have enough to celebrate.
You know, it's funny you bring that up because it does seem like cities go through streaks. Oh, I always find that interesting.
Boston. Yeah, very Boston. Recently.
L.A. did it for a number of years.
That's right.
Basketball, hockey, et cetera.
Well, Draymond Green, if you thought he would take the high road of winning the championship, you'd be wrong. This is what Draymond Green celebrated in front of hundreds of thousands of people.
Well, the Q, those guys are in this car.
Let me stop that. Draymond Green was wearing a shirt that said Quickie on it. Quickie. This may be in response to LeBron James' shirt.
Right. Last Quicken year. Loans Arena or the Quicken Loans Q.
Right.
Yeah.
Or a very quick series.
Well, the Q, those guys are in this car. We got him out here quick with the trophy, Quickie.
Who was responsible for the t-shirt?
I mean, I was responsible for the idea. Yeah. Nick was responsible for the production. So, we actually got him made in Cleveland. How about that?
Oh, wow. Well, just to let you all know before you start stuff, Draymond, LeBron, very cool, like family. This is all in fun and good jest.
Absolutely. I can't forget the Ultimate Warrior shirt last year from LeBron and, the 3-1 tombstone cookies and all of that. So, I was waiting on this moment, but definitely my guy. That's family.
Although they are buds.
They are. And by the way,
weren't they hanging out like the day before barbershop. Game five? Yeah.
Oh, well, the barbershop thing that was airing, previewing one of LeBron James' many other projects.
You got a problem with that?
Of what?
Two competitors hanging out like during the finals?
If I had a problem with it, I'd spend my time being exhausted because they all seem to be friends in all sports. With agents and free agency, everyone seems to know each other. The rivalry and the hatred in itself. Although, what I really did enjoy, which I thought this was a great NBA Finals. I've said many times, this was the most I've ever enjoyed a five-game series of any sport.
Right, yeah, exactly.
But
watching
LeBron James and Kevin Durant, the number one and number two best player in the world, watching them jaw back and forth brought me back a little bit to some great rivalries, maybe, the Lakers and the Celtics. Nothing near, you just can't get away with the violence that you saw previously. But there was enough animosity in this series where it didn't look like they were all just buddy buddy to me.
Yeah, it's kind of the opposite of the elephant's memory that baseball players have. From 3 years ago, you brushed me back. Now I'm going to fight. I think that's ridiculous too. I think somewhere in the middle would be nice. I don't like when players are hanging out together during the season or during the finals. I also don't like it necessarily when a guy gets a base hit, goes to first base, and the first baseman pats him on the butt. I don't like that. I want them to not like each other during the game and be, contentious. I enjoy watching some of that X Games stuff, all the extreme sports. But all of those guys practice together. They're all buddies. There's no contention. They all get along. And I don't know. Maybe I'm a little old school in that.
No,
I like
I'm
it
with
when
you.
They
it's
when
drama.
They're, yeah, they're not when they're not all buddy buddy. They can be buddy buddy in the off season and go ride on water weenies together in the Bahamas. That's fine, although it's a little strange. But
sports is the greatest reality television show, and just like all reality television shows, whether it's the Jersey Shore or the NBA Finals, it's all better with more drama. And so I do think
there can be too much drama, right? Which makes it just insufferable.
When?
If there's too much, like in baseball, when there's there's always this unwritten rule and we can't do that. And if you do that, I'm going to throw at you. And that's too much drama. Just like
what's been the most covered baseball moment this year? Bryce Harper and Hunter Strickland.
Really?
That's been the most. Oh, yeah.
Forgive me for not remembering what the heck happened between those two guys.
When Hunter Strickland threw at him for something that happened three years ago in 2014, and Bryce Harper charged the mound.
Okay.
That is.
Oh, all right.
Nationally.
Right. Yes. Okay.
So is that what you're considering too much drama?
Yes.
Because to me, that's a perfect amount of drama.
I think it's completely out of line. It's like both of you need to grow up Play the game.
Telling athletes to grow up ain't going to happen anytime soon, Pete. That's like telling you to grow up. But, and you're about to put on a sarong on Sunday for Father's Day with a cowboy hat.
Exactly. So, and you know who the first person I'm going to send that picture to is?
You. Lose my number, bro. As quickly as possible, please lose my number. But I got to say, as much as Draymond bothers me, LeBron
just
started
Mark Willard, bro, right there.
Yo.
Yo, lose my number.
That's my Mark Willard. Yo, lose my number, yo. But no, Draymond Green, to me, LeBron started it, so I'm good with the shirt.
I don't have a problem with it either.
Is it childish? Sure.
But I forgot about the fact that they had a shirt last year, and there was, you know, these underhanded digs last year from the Cavs. And then I also forgot that he and LeBron are pals.
They
so
are.
That makes it a whole lot less Draymond-y.
All right, hour number three coming up next. Mike Haynes, longtime Los Angeles Raider. What should the Chargers expect heading to Los Angeles? We'll get to that coming up next.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.